Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. And I'm just going to start this show out and say the last two times that I had this dynamic duo on the show, they won the tournament the next day. So I'm not trying to jinx anything, but third time's a charm.
Yeah, you're right? Pretty good luck, Brad.
I'll take that. I've been in the boat with you guys. You guys are just phenomenal anglers, and as a team you guys work so well together. But don't let me hold this back. Let's start with what happened to your boat. It used to be beautifully red, I guess.
Yeah, we changed it up. Happy Hollow Outdoors stepped on board with us and wanted to do a wrap on my boat, so I figured that would probably be best for preserving that pretty red paint anyway, so
right.
We covered it up, and now we're camouflaged with a big Happy Hollow sticker on the side. So,
I saw we got some film with that today. That thing will flat out run too.
Oh yeah, she's fast. Yeah, she's fast.
But then you went and did that. But what happened to your truck? Your truck got a little face change too, didn't it, Clay?
Yes, sir. Got some new logos added this year.
New logos. Anyone in particular? You gonna throw someone out there?
Bait Fuel.
Yeah.
Halo Fishing. And they got a new bait out called the Nano Vibe series, different models, right. New crappie bait.
Yeah. So you're using those?
We're using them, sliders, several different jigs, and always them minnows, hence the name you gave me, the Minnow Pimp, last year.
Minnow Pimp, that's right. Let's get right to those minnows and how they're going to play a part in not only like in this tournament, but if the angler was going out fishing for the next couple months, what are they going to look like when it goes to fishing with a minnow? What's their rig?
It kind of depends, man. I mean, I'm a minnow guy. I think that if a crappie don't eat a minnow, he's not going to eat anything. Like today or on the lake as it's fishing right now, you may not need a minnow, you know. But it's kind of weird because the fish is either going to bite or it's not.
Right.
That's the way it's fishing right now. I mean, you may only catch five fish all day, but he was going to bite whatever got in front of him, you know. Okay. So that's just weird, man. Some of them have knocked the crap out of it, and then some of them don't want to touch it. I don't know. It's fishing pretty bad. I don't know if it's the cold or what, but the water was 38 degrees this morning, so that could have something to do with it.
A little chilly.
Yeah, they're froze.
So size-wise, what are you using like for this tournament and then early in the spring? What size minnow should they be looking at?
I think we're going to need some small ones here, but it's all about what lake. You know, Grenada, they need big minnows, bigger fish, but here it's going to have to be something small. We hadn't tried them here yet, so we'll see tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. And what's the rig going to be like? The minnow rig hook. What's the terminal tackle going to look like?
It's going to be a bobber stopper, tungsten weight, another bobber stopper, and then down about 18 inches, a Guthrie tackle hook with a minnow through the lips.
Okay, and to get that all ready, when did you start tying rods? Did you tie them today or did you tie them day before?
That was
kind of give them an idea of what you do on the background.
Last night we got everything together and we come down here and pre-fished about 4 hours today. So the water temperature's in the 30s, so we're just looking for five bites.
Right.
It was tough out there today.
So you're going out there in your guide service, let's say early in the spring, and they're using minnows. What are you telling the people that are going out with you, like setting a hook and things like that? What are the things that you're looking at? And so you're helping that person catch more fish. What are you really looking at?
I always tell them that you would probably catch more fish if I blindfolded you.
Really?
Yes, because you look at that screen and you're going to miss them. Especially until you get the feel for it, you know.
Right.
As far as setting a hook, 95% of the fish that are missed in my boat is because people did not set the hook.
Really?
I yank them. I don't powder puff them. I yank them. We got to get them in the boat. I want them to yank until the drag winds.
Wow.
Yeah, I want them to rip that thing. I want them to try to pull. You have to either bring up a set of lips or a fish.
All right.
One another. And so that's the way I roll with that. But, I mean, you're going to learn. Right. I don't expect anybody to ever know, exactly what they're doing whenever they get in the boat, especially if they haven't done it before. It is a learning curve, but the fastest way to learn is to – I feel like I'm a pretty good teacher. I had some guys this last week up at Sardis that never seen live scope before, and they caught their limit in an hour and a half both days.
Wow. So,
you know. So they did pretty good. I mean, it's intimidating to a lot of people, but if you just listen, you know, put your ears on, then you'll do good. And the people that do the best are usually women and kids, and that's because they don't really have a care in it, you know.
Right. They don't have any bad habits.
Right. They don't have no bad habits. They've never done it before, you know. Uh-huh. So they listen and they pay attention, typically more than the big prideful men do.
Right. So for people that don't know, as a team, when they're crappie fishing, someone usually, in this case, usually JoJo's fishing up in the front, and then Clay's in the back there taking care of things. Tell them how that lays out in a day. Like when, let's just say, after he catches his first fish, then your work really starts, doesn't it?
Yeah, and sometimes he'll have three or four back here flopping around. I've got to kind of catch up with him. You know, like you was in the boat on Poverty Point. I was bleeding like I've been in a fight or something.
But that all goes with, then you weigh him. Tell us, like, go through the steps of.
So you go one, the first one he catches, we weigh it, put it on a lock the weight in, put a coil tag on it, a fin clip on the bottom where it'll sit down and not be floating so it'll stay alive, and then you got to do that for five times when you get your best five, and then you want to usually keep an extra one or two, and then it's just the culling process from there.
Right. And so hopefully culling happens tomorrow.
If we're culling fish, I think we got a pretty good shot of winning this thing.
Right. And so tell people, we talked about live scope just for a second. Tell them about live scoping. Tell them about the look of what a crappie, you know, looks like, mm-hmm. and how do you know that crappie's going to bite?
Okay. So it's hard to explain. To me, it's very hard to explain. I can show you better than I can tell you. But it's just I've seen so many of them, you know. I've looked at the behavior so much. I know what a crappie acts like. I know what a big crappie acts like. Heck, that guy trip I took, you know, my boat was getting wrapped, so I wasn't in my boat, and I was with somebody else's boat, and they had a 22-inch screen with a 34 transducer.
Right.
That's way out of my jurisdiction, you know, so I had to go back through and relearn his screen, you know.
Right.
But I knew how a crappie acted. I knew the behavior behind a crappie. I knew the behavior behind a big crappie. So on his screen, all the fish looked the same. We caught a 288 was the big fish,
yeah,
and we caught 12 inches, you know. There was no difference in the size of that 12-inch fish on that screen as there was that 288, but I could tell the behavior of the fish, you know.
Right.
Up and down off the bottom, the way he was sitting on the bottom, the way he reacted to the jig right before he bit. Just little things like that you pick up on.
So also I've heard stories of crappie in Grenada as they turn and face.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that, because that's like, say, I remember you, like Oklahoma and places like that where I know we went to Eufaula in Oklahoma, and I watched these guys catch them, and they're caught them. They're like 1.8, 1.87 or something. You guys had it down to the 100-tenths of it. But those fish were different compared to as that angle is.
Yeah. So you follow as a different animal, man. I feel like those fish starve to death.
Uh-huh.
So, because every one of them bites. But Grenada, yeah, they do, or up there at my lakes. I love it whenever it's muddy, the fish get right up on top of the water, and you can literally see them. When they see your jig, they get up under it, like directly up under the jig and looking straight up at it. And once they start cocking like that, you better take the safety off. because it's going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah, they're going to thump it.
So as you're in the back, or in the back, but beside them or with the net, what's usually your conversation with JoJo? Is it, hey, you know, do you need a cookie or anything like that? Or do you get up there and do you really like?
We fish together so much now, I usually don't have to ask him. I can tell if he's running low on Marlboro Reds. I can tell if he needs a, I can tell if he needs a Red Bull. As far as talking about the fish, no. I'm just ready with a net.
Yeah. So what do you talk about in the boat? Just out of curiosity.
Really, nothing much.
Nothing
unless you're in there and we talk, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, we're focused completely zoned in and on it, you know. And Clay, I don't hear a lot out of him other than he'll ask me a few times, you know,
right.
If I need something or something like that, you know, if I want something to drink, if I've been up there for a while and he knows that I haven't had anything to drink, because I lose track because I'm completely focused.
That joker goes all day, never eats nothing. I don't say how he does it. I'd be fell out back there.
You can't tell it by looking at me, but I don't eat much.
Yeah, that's about right, though. But that's I think that's just part of fishing and part of the team. So as you're out fishing and something, the line breaks, what's kind of the procedure? What do you go through? You know, his line broke, and then what do you do?
Hey, we've always got at least two rods ready, so I'll hand him the other rod and be back there retying it. If he catches one, I'll throw it down, go net it, weigh it, and then come back to work on the rod I was working on. So it's kind of like a process.
And you, do you fish much together? When you're not fishing in tournaments?
We fish so many tournaments, we're pretty much fishing all year, you know, at least once or twice a month, tournament-wise.
Yeah, so, I mean, we get to fish. That is our fishing together. Yeah.
I see.
And usually during a tournament, we're so busy. You know, I mean, last year at Eufaula, he fished a lot. He got up front pre-fishing, and I can't count the fish he caught, you know. But, we usually just strictly business, you know what I mean?
Right.
So we don't go fun fishing.
You don't go fun fishing?
No, fishing's not fun to me anyway, but you know, it's kind of a business thing. I love winning, I love competing. So
you have a lot of those trophies that you've been collecting, both of you.
Yeah, so we've got a good bit.
You're looking for more hardware here.
That's right. Yep. I've always been competitive my whole life, and Clay's a very competitive guy too. So we go good together as far as that goes.
All right. Tell us which tournaments are you going to fish this year in the NCL? Do you know, like in the NCL, you have this one and maybe three more?
Yeah, I think we've got five. So we'll have this one and four more.
Okay. Well, do you know which ones?
Let me see. So this one.
Yep.
And then. Let me see.
The championship.
Yep. And then we go to Shreveport, Cross Lake, Grenada in October, Kentucky Lake, April the 12th.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's one more, but there's so many on the schedule, I don't really remember.
Yeah, we got 20-something tournaments on the schedule, so it's kind of hard to keep up with them. We just, once we get to a new month, we just start looking at the calendar.
There you go.
Maybe like Murray, South Carolina or something, I think.
South Carolina?
Yeah,
yeah, that's going to be interesting there.
Yeah, that's out of my league. You know, I fished a few years back, I fished Dale Hollow. It's probably one of my most prized tournaments that I've fished.
Wow. That's
crystal clear water.
Yeah, never, not your forte.
I'm chocolate milk kind of guy. I mean, that's, you know, I don't fish clear water, and went up there and ended up getting third. So that's out of everything that I've accomplished, that's up there.
All right. One last question. What are you going to do to prepare for the tournaments that the reservoirs that you haven't been to yet? Are you going to do Google Earth, or are you going to do something like that to at least have an idea?
Definitely. Clay stays looking, man. He stays on the maps all the time. But we're definitely going to be looking at the maps, you know, looking at different contours of the lake and stuff like that. But we're going to – lakes that we haven't been to – we're going to have to go and pre-fish more.
Okay. All right. That takes us to tackle time. Tackle time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits, so you can check them out there. I happen to know someone who has some Pico crankbaits.
Yes, sir.
We are going to find out how that turns out. I think you're going to have a good time in the summer when you start pulling those. You're going to be pulling in a lot of fish and the crappie like it. So we'll come back with you and we'll find out what your favorite colors are and things like that. That takes us to that. Jojo, if they want to find out more about you, or they want to go on a guide trip, where would they go?
You can find me on Facebook, Tri-Lake Guide Service, or you can find me online at trilakeguideservice.com, or you can just call or text me, 662-230-4223. It's my cell.
All right, Clay, how about you? They want to catch out some more. I know I'm always checking you out on Facebook, so.
It's a... I'm always in Tennessee working at the school, SRO. Right. It's where the SRO that Big Mike Jones calls me came from.
That's right.
So I'm always there, Lawrence County High School, protecting the kids, and usually in the summertime I'm on Wilson or Pickwick fishing.
All right. Sounds good. Like I always like to say, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lure's in the water.